Hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, well, you're cordially invited to call right now. If it's 3 p.m. Central Time, it's the live broadcast, and we want to hear directly from you right now at 844-322-2742. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is the same. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob and Andrew. It's awfully nice to have you with us today, and looking forward to this program together.
Yeah, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, this is just the best week of the year as far as Christians are concerned, as we celebrate the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the story, and that is our story. And we've been this week just reading different elements and different facets of the story. And today I thought we'd take a look at the crucifixion. And I'm going to read from John 19. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. And Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he hung on that cross for 6 hours, and late in the day, he comes to the end of his life. And moving down to verse 28 of John chapter 19, it says this, after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Those three words, it is finished, I think are some of the most powerful words that have ever been uttered by a person. And they change everything for you and me. And Andrew, I'd love to have you just kind of talk a little bit about that phrase, it is finished. And then I want you to also talk to us a little bit today about the fact that, the cross, the place, this place called Golgotha, was outside the city gates, and exactly why that's important to us, why that was necessary, and what that means to us as well. So two tasks, it is finished and outside the city gates.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as it is finished, I think this means the world to us. We're in this week right now where we're coming upon the weekend and celebrating death, burial, and resurrection. And when Jesus says it is finished, he is saying that, first of all, the law has been fulfilled. That's finished. He doesn't need to fulfill it anymore. He did everything he needed to do. He didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. So we don't have to wake up and try to fulfill it. And that is a big portion of what we talk about every day on Basic Gospel, that we're not under the law, that we're under grace because Jesus fulfilled the law, and therefore we're not under obligation to keep it. We're dead to the law and not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for us who believe. Why? Well, because it is finished. And then with regard to our forgiveness, Bob, you know, you look at the day after day sacrifices in the Old Testament. It was never finished. Year after year, week after week, the Day of Atonement, Israel offering a bull and a goat and a bull and a goat again and again, repeatedly, endlessly, trying to get more forgiveness, more cleansing. And here comes Jesus, and on the cross he says, it is finished. And that means that our forgiveness is a done deal. We cannot add to it. We cannot improve upon that. Hebrews 10:14 says, we have been forgiven forever, for all time, by one offering. How can that be? Well, it can only be if it is finished. And lastly, I would say this pertains to our new identity in Christ. We don't have to go searching for a new heart. We've got one. We don't have to go searching for a new self or trying to improve ourselves. We've got a new self. We were crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, and then raised to newness of life, and that is finished. Yeah, we're learning and we're growing, but we have a new identity right here, right now, because it's finished. So, Bob, you know, Hebrews 13 says, let us go out to him outside the camp. And that's what we're doing as believers. You know, the book of Hebrews is talking about that city and going outside of Jerusalem, outside of the walls of the city, outside of the walls of traditional religion, outside of the gates of legalism and law-based living, going out to where those animal sacrifices, those animals were burned, and there was a stench out there. It was not a desirable place for most people. And so the author of Hebrews in this 13th chapter is saying, let's go outside of the gates of religion and let's trust Jesus. Let's go out to where he was crucified. Yes, there's a temple over there inside the gates. It's filled with grandeur and splendor, and they spent a lot of money on it, and it's a big attraction to the masses. But no, that is not where forgiveness is found. That is not where eternal life is found. So let's go outside the gate to Jesus Christ. And any of us who are believers in him, Bob, that's exactly what we've done. We have gone out to him, investing in the gospel message, Jesus plus nothing. That was on the heart of this author, and that is what's on our hearts today.
It is basic gospel, and that's good stuff, guys. Thank you for kicking off the broadcast with such encouragement. Andrew Parley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we have plenty of open lines. We'd like for you to be a part of the direct broadcast, calling straight into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. And, of course, that number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And, friends, your gifts to basic gospel help us take the love of Jesus to an untold number of people, both here in North America and literally around the world. You know, every time someone responds to the gospel that they heard about on Basic Gospel, you have a part in that. And our thanks to everyone who gives to support this ongoing ministry and the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you give this month, we want to send you the message entitled, When God is For You, an in-depth look at Romans 8 by Bob Christopher. It's a terrifically encouraging message in light of current events, of course. Click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and be sure to request your copy of When God is For You. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had some calls that came in off hours. Let's listen to one right now.
Hi, this is Sandy from Reno, Nevada. I have a question that's been on my mind. I couldn't understand why people hate Jews if Jesus is Jewish. And I can't understand this hate. And also, do Jewish people believe in the resurrection like Christian people? Thanks.
Boy, that's an interesting question. And, you know, today is Maundy Thursday, and it's called that because of this new command that Jesus gave to the disciples as he's preparing them for what is going to come after. And that new command is that we're to love one another as God in Christ has loved us. So he kind of raised the bar, and he really started to direct our attention and focus on the love of God that has been expressed to us in Jesus. And so when we have been captured by that love, when that love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then we have a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. It really takes away all the hostility that we might have held toward other people. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, that wall of hostility has been torn down. The hostility in the heart is now gone. And so we're at liberty. We're free to love one another as God in Christ has loved us because of the love the Holy Spirit has poured into our heart. So anyone who is hating on a particular group and says they're Christians is just really missing the message. Because the message is a message of love that's been demonstrated to us at the cross of Jesus Christ and has been given to us, imparted to us through the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. So, Sandy, that first part, I'm with you. How can people say that they hate a particular group and name the name of Christ? You know, out there in the world, we see hatred of all kind, but it's in Christ that we can start seeing people as God sees them and begin to love them as God loves them. Now, as far as the resurrection, Andrew, tell us a little bit of kind of the rub was between the Pharisees and the Sadducees concerning belief in resurrection.
Well, that was their debate. I mean, the age-old joke is that the Pharisees believed in resurrection and the Sadducees didn't. And that's why they were sad, you see.
They didn't. I knew it was coming.
Yeah. So that was the debate. And you can see a little bit about that in the 23rd chapter of Acts. It says in verse 8, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, nor angel, nor spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. And so this was the rub. I mean, this was the debate between those two groups of Jewish people. But, you know, as far as resurrection, definitely there is an eventual resurrection in the minds of the Jews. Your soul goes to be with God. Your body remains in the grave. So there is a process there. Also, you know, you look back at the Old Testament scriptures in Psalm 16, it says, David is talking, he says, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol." So clearly, there's scriptures supporting this idea of an afterlife, and Jews believed that. But a lot of them that did believe in the afterlife and did believe in a resurrection thought that punishment was temporary, not eternal. We could go on and on. Some of them thought it was a psychological punishment rather than something that you experienced in your body. But, you know, the bottom line is Paul was appealing to them and to anyone who would listen. And he was saying, you have to go with resurrection because that's the way to new life. And what are we going to do? Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die and there's nothing left? No. This message that we are celebrating this weekend, Bob, this is a message for every day, and it's central to Christianity. As you know, Paul says to the Corinthians that we're still dead in our sins if there's no resurrection. If there's no hope beyond this life, we're wasting our time. And our faith is worthless. Everything that Paul preached is in vain. So again and again, Paul's preaching and Peter and James and John, as they presented to these Jewish communities, they were not saying that a belief in resurrection is optional. No, it's absolutely central, because if God didn't raise Jesus from the dead, then certainly he doesn't have victory over death and he doesn't have victory over sin. But he does have these things for us today. And that is our hope in the risen Christ. He's not merely a historical teacher from 2,000 years ago. He's alive today, living in us with an offer of resurrection life for the world.
Yes, indeed. Well, Sandy, I hope you're listening, and I hope that is a big help and a big encouragement to you.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, just a note here. I want you to know that you're hearing right now two of the finest grace teachers, Bible teachers, you're going to ever have access to. And I would encourage you, if you've ever had a question that something you couldn't quite clear up, this is your opportunity to speak directly with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley here at Basic Gospel. If you have roughly 14 minutes after 3 p.m., it's the live broadcast, and you can call directly into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, love for you to have access to Bob and Andrew right now on this particular broadcast. But in the meantime, we had this call that came in overnight as well.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You guys do a great, great job in explaining grace and truth. My question is, what exactly is Palm Sunday? Could you explain it to me, please? It'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you, and you have a blessed day.
Well, that's an interesting question. It happened last Sunday. I mean, last Sunday we celebrated Palm Sunday, and it was in celebration of the day when Jesus rode on a donkey triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem. And as he did so, the people lining the streets saying Hosanna, and they laid, as it says in Mark chapter 11, they spread cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches or palm branches in front of him to honor him as who he was. And they did so saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. So here on Palm Sunday, they were praising Jesus for who he was. And then a few days later, a lot in that same crowd were yelling, crucify, crucify. And but that Palm Sunday, it is that triumphal entry of Jesus riding on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem, just as the Old Testament have prophesied. And I love the image of this, Andrew, because when we believe the gospel, when we hear the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ marches triumphantly into our hearts, doesn't he?
Yes, and this means so much to me, because Jesus could have come in with strength. He could have come in with military power. He could have come in making a statement of, look at me and how aggressive I am and how strong I am. And he did the opposite. I mean, he comes in riding on a donkey, and the donkey was symbolic. It was symbolic of arriving with an attitude of peace. You didn't ride into town on a donkey if you were looking to be aggressive or waging war against someone. And so we see the Prince of Peace doing this in such a way that is unexpected. The King of the Jews coming in a way that is a peaceable coming and arriving. And then in his death, which is unexpected, people think the King of the Jews is going to display strength and power from the very beginning and perhaps overthrow the Romans and do all these things that the Jews imagined he would do. And instead, he rides in on a donkey, he's crucified on a cross, he's gone to their eyes for 3 days, and everything looks like failure. And we know the end of the story. We know that the end of that story is just the beginning, because he rises from the dead, he gives his life to us, we rise from the dead with him, we're called born again, born of the Spirit, born from above by his resurrection power. But, Bob, I guess what I'm blown away by is the method. I mean, you know, God chooses the weak things of the world to show his strength, and he chooses the foolish things of the world to show his wisdom. And here's another case of that. He's confounding the wisdom of the wise. He's not doing it the way military leaders would do it, not doing it the way political leaders would do it. He's doing it in such a beautiful, peaceable way. And that's just more evidence that this indeed is God.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, it's interesting, Andrew, you know, as you're talking, you think about the people of Israel and what their hopes were as far as the Messiah was concerned. And as they kind of gathered in their council meetings and the Sanhedrin and all of that, they're talking about their enemy. And their enemy at that point was the Roman Empire. It was Caesar, and the fact that they were under the thumb of Caesar and under control of the Roman Empire. So their hope was that Messiah would come and defeat Rome. And I think that's why they had such a problem with Jesus, because he wasn't that guy. And yet Jesus knew the real enemy. He knew their enemy, and that was sin and death, and that's our enemy. And so Jesus stayed on mission, focused on defeating sin and death once and for all through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that was the only way that could be accomplished. Someone dying because of sins, not their sins, but the sins of the world, and then overcoming the consequence of that through the power of resurrection. That's what confounded them. They didn't really get that they needed personal salvation. They didn't get that they were in bondage to sin and death. But that's truth, and that's what all of us were in bondage to, sin and death. Mm-hmm. And through the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, we've been released once and for all, free to enjoy new life in Christ Jesus.
And that's good stuff, guys. Thank you, Bob and Andrew. Again, we want to remind you that knowing your identity as a child of God is vitally important if you are to live and thrive in the abundance of life that Jesus offers. And one of the best ways that we know of to start each day in that particular mode is to subscribe to the Basic Gospel Daily Devotional. You'll be reminded of your identity as one of God's dearly loved kids every day as you open your email inbox. It's free, and all you need to do is click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website at basicgospel.net. As I said, it'll arrive in your email inbox every morning, and we hope you'll subscribe today. Again, upper left corner of any page at basicgospel.net. Guys, another call that came in off hours. Let's listen to this one.
Hi, my name is Landon, and I am calling to ask a question about being predestined. The New Testament, a lot of areas, it talks about being predestined, and it kind of contradicts asking, you know, God into your life and making that decision. I mean, it sounds like it contradicts it. So I would like to know if you can, you know, make a choice with free will to choose God. How do those two things fit in with each other? Thank you so much.
Boy, Landon, what a great question, and I really love the way you asked that. And Andrew, talk to us a little bit about that. What has been predestined, and where does our choice as human beings come into play in the salvation process and everything it means to be a human?
Yeah, well, I also love the question, the way he phrased it, because if you don't see that contradiction, then you're not thinking. There is a contradiction for people who believe that everybody has to be picked, pre-chosen by God in order to be saved. But wait a minute, you've got a choice. You can call upon his name. Don't harden your heart. Well, there's a contradiction in that message, but it does all become clear, Bob, when we look at Romans chapter 9 and verse 30. I think this is like a red flag waving in the air, a flag of clarity and hope when we see the true meaning of predestination. It says, "What then shall we say that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness that is by faith?" So when Paul asks this question, what shall we say then, you better believe that he's getting to the bottom line. I mean, that's what he's up to here. And so the true meaning of predestination, guys, is that God had a secret plan to unleash the gospel, not just on the Jews, but on the Gentiles, so that Jesus Christ would be the satisfying sacrifice for the whole world, not just for the Jews. And so what's the takeaway? Well, now, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So the invitation is for anybody and everybody. And truly, that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. And Landon, thank you so much for calling and leaving that question for us. It's one of the most important questions to deal with and to come to a good answer. And Andrew, thank you for the clarity on that. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And friends, we invite you to join the live video stream of this program every day from either Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links to the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Also, I want to remind you of our online store at basicgospel.net and all the resources that you could ever need to understand the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ are right there for you. And again, that's the online store at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody. If you have questions or concerns, give us a call at that same number, 844-322-2742. Remember also that we need your help to keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the air and online. We invite you to partner with us at Basic Gospel. Donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, the prominent link right there on the homepage. And to say thanks for your April gift, we're going to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's timely message called When God Is For You. Again, donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.